Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout.
So I know that the title of this episode looks like clickbait. Fallout 5 will be the final Fallout game. And I mean that. I 100% mean it. And maybe not in a way that you are expecting. I'm not saying that I want Fallout 5 to be the last game that they make in the Fallout series ever. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is Fallout 5 will be the last Fallout game because they're going to make it as a platform. And that is going to open up how we engage with future Fallout games, or in this case, with Fallout 5 and everything else they add on to it for as far as we can see into the future. And it's going to have big ramifications. And in this episode, I'm going to tell you how I think they could make this work, why it will work, and how that will make for even better single-player Fallout game stories, and how it will tie in with the rest of the series. And also why this is a very good thing, and we should probably hope that they make this happen. So go with me on this journey. I hope you enjoy these ideas. Here we go. Before we get too deep, I want to preface something here. This is a fun thought experiment, and it's something I think would be really cool if it happened, but it also may not be very likely. But I'm just going to pretend that it is, just for the sake of this thought experiment. So before we get into all the details about how Fallout 5 will work, what it might be about, and all of that, let me explain why I think they're going to move into a very new direction when it comes to future Fallout games. So Bethesda has previously stated that they did not expect Skyrim, of course, to do as well as it has, but that it has become a sort of platform for the fantasy roleplay experience. And that informed their development of Starfield in order to make Starfield the kind of game that could become a platform for a space RPG experience. Now, they're looking at these games less like the way that we traditionally look at role-playing games and have until today, and more in a potential future kind of direction. So what does that mean for Fallout? Well, what I think that means is that with Fallout 76, they've already been testing the waters with this. We know that they've been supporting Fallout 76 for 5 years now. We know that they're rolling out more content than they ever have before, that the player base is healthier than it was in previous years, and they're adding new zones. They're creating new content, new places to go, new stories, new endgame content, and they continue to tweak the gameplay and improve it. And yeah, they take for two steps forward, they take a step back. There's some bugs, they have to fix those bugs. They've been back and forth with that for a while. But all of this is to say that the experience that they are gaining from doing this already sort of platform design for a multiplayer Fallout, and you add in the details about what they've learned by creating Starfield, and on top of that, the advancements that they've made from a technology standpoint with their game engine to be able to do these kinds of things, and you have a platform. I think what we're going to see is that Elder Scrolls 6 will come out in a few years, and it will be designed from the ground up to be the predominant new RPG platform for anyone who wants to play or mod in whatever they want into a role-playing world. Now, it's not going to be as modular as something like Super Mario Maker 2 or something like that. It's not like we're going to get a dungeon designer and a map designer and all of those kinds of things, although they could expand the creation kit and add a lot of those features into it. I'm not saying that won't happen, but what I am saying is that they're designing Elder Scrolls 6 to be something that will be iterated on and continued indefinitely into the future, which could mean that they never have to do an Elder Scrolls 7 because the story events that would be in Elder Scrolls 7 could simply be expanded into Elder Scrolls 6. One of the things that I've discussed on the Elder Scrolls Lorecast with my co-host Lotus is this idea that had they been able to see the future when they put out Skyrim and realized that they could have continued to make more DLC, that there would be enough players, millions and millions of people, I think the number is over 60 million at this point, who have played this game, who own this game, who own it on platforms that eventually came out that allowed modding and also on PC, had they had the foresight to know that the game would have been so successful in those specific ways and that Skyrim would have been the most modded game in history, they would have realized that they could have just kept putting out DLC and people would keep buying it. But instead, they put out the total number of DLC for Skyrim and the total number of DLC for Fallout 4, just like every other publisher does. You put out the main game, you plan a certain number of DLC, you ship those DLC over the next few years, and then you move on to the next game because technology is moving quickly. Well, guess what isn't developing as fast anymore? And it's not that we aren't having advancements in technology, it's that the jumps are smaller. The difference between the graphics from this console generation and the previous console generation is much more slim and minute than the difference from the previous generation before that, and so on and so forth. We're getting to a place where the most popular games are games that have been out for years. Graphics and the capabilities of our processors are no longer what's holding back game design so much as the bandwidth to create the content and an understanding of the marketplace to create content that people will continue to buy to keep your studio going. The business side of this has become the limitations. So, had they been able to see the future, it would have made more sense potentially to every year or every 2 years put out another DLC that runs on the original game engine or the updated modded game engine. Why go through the process of having to put out an entire sequel if you have something that works as a platform and people just want the next episode of the thing that they want to play? This happens already in MMOs. This happens already in content like Destiny and Fallout 76. Why not do that for single player games? And I think originally the perspective was that that wouldn't sell. That every time you put out a DLC, you sell less copies than the original game. And so it's better to create another original game eventually because you're going to get more chances at more people buying that game. But games have much longer tails now. People are still buying Skyrim and buying multiple copies. They just recently updated the Legendary Edition of Skyrim, which isn't even the most recent edition that everyone's supposed to be playing on. So to wrap up my first point, the games are going to be platforms moving forward and much more capable of that than any other point in history. By the time we get Elder Scrolls 6, it will firmly be designed for a platform and they will vet it. They will test it. They will figure this out. I also think with Starfield, we're just getting the first DLC the end of this month. But we're probably going to get DLC into the future as long as they continue to sell. Because from a business perspective, you don't need an entire whole studio to put out extra story content, quests, characters, packs of things that you can engage with, like new weapons and vehicles and things like that. That takes a much smaller group. So you put aside a fifth the number of people, a sixth the number of people into this side little studio, you silo them off, and you have them work on these adventures in Starfield, adventures in Tamriel, adventures in the Wasteland kind of stuff that just keeps coming out. It's part of where they're also going with the Creation Club stuff. They've set it up in a way that modders can do this sort of thing, And if it's lucrative for modders to do it because they people can buy this through the Creation Club, again, using the games as a platform, then it makes sense for Bethesda to set aside groups to do this as well for story content. So where does this go in the perspective of Fallout 5? Well, here's where I think it goes. Fallout 5, when it gets released, will look like an expansion to Fallout and the Fallout series. It'll look like a continuation of the franchise after the events of Fallout 4 and the TV show. We're going to get a story bit. We're going to get new characters, new companions, maybe new building options. There's going to be a whole lot of new content. We're going to get a new zone, lots of new stuff, just like any other Fallout. But in this case, things will be different. It will play out differently. It will still be a single player game because we have multiplayer Fallout. So people are going to want a single player Fallout. It will still function in a lot of ways like the previous games, but it will create a setup so that that story can continue to be added onto, and not just in ways like previous DLCs have. A traditional setup for DLC is usually either content that gets added into the map that's already existing. So think of like Automaton, right? Like that stuff happens in the main world map where you already were. You now start to see robots marching around. You get this new dungeon area because it's part of the quest line, all of that kind of stuff, right? Then you also have variations of this where you get new features that can be used anywhere, like expansions for being able to build bases and things like that. But then you also have the side content version of this, Nuka World or Far Harbor, where you move from the main map into a new tiny map. It's kind of a much smaller place. And you go on these adventures in this little tiny map, but it gives you an opportunity to see some different settings, meet some different characters, go through different buildings that you haven't been through before, explore new dungeons, those kinds of things. And that content is set off to the side. And Nuka World's actually very big, but it's not as big as the entire map, right? Now picture this. Fallout 5 comes out with a solid, huge main game, main world, all of that stuff. And then we're told 2 years from now, we will have an expansion. And it's not just a traditional expansion. It's not just this little side zone or new functionality for some of the fun little gameplay quirks that they've added in. Although they will still be doing those, you will have a specific group in the studio who have been working on, before Fallout 5 even came out, the same, using that same engine, once the engine is stabilized and good for designing this specific game, to design another world space, another story that is similar in size to the base game. And they'll shoot for 2 to 3 years out. Not the 5 to 6 years from like one main game to another, not the 10 years plus between actual games in that series. No, they will be shooting for 2 to 3 years in order to bridge that gap. Now think about it. When we got Fallout 3, it was only a very short period of time before we got New Vegas. And then it was only a short period of time before we got Skyrim. And before that, it was a short period of time before Fallout 3 that we got Oblivion. It used to be that they could iterate every 2 to 3 years and put out another full-sized game. Well, what if they can do that again because they've streamlined the tech to do it and they've siloed off these sub studio groups that are able to just use that same game engine, the same tech, and build a entire new zone. But this time it's not a standalone game. It's something that tacks on to Fallout 5. So imagine this. Fallout 5 is Fallout 5. Let's say it takes place in New York. I think New York is a likely place for a new Fallout game because we've talked about this on our Patreon chats before, but to kind of summarize it, it was one of the locations they were looking at for Fallout 4 before they decided to go with Boston. It's also a location that is very American. Anything that you're going to put in Fallout needs to feel very America, right? LA feels very America. Las Vegas feels very America. There's nowhere in the world quite like Las Vegas. Boston, very America. You know, the Tea Party and the founding of the country and all of that stuff, right? New York City is another one of those locations that is 100% the United States of America. If you are an immigrant in this country that came into this country over the last 200 years, there's a very high percentage chance that you came through New York City. My ancestors did on my mom's side, came through New York City. In fact, my grandparents met in New York City. I'm not from there. I visited, but you know, it is a key focus for the American experience. On top of that, it's a wonderful location for verticality because you have buildings that go up, and sure, a lot of those buildings will have been nuked. And so you're gonna have lots of rubble, lots of stuff to dig around in, but also lots of underground stuff. Subways and tunnels and all sorts of things. And it's a big map. You could take Manhattan and do a whole section of Manhattan. And then you also have the park in the middle, right? Like you have this big park area where you might have wild animals and zoo animals that escaped or whatever. There is so much opportunity to take that as a setting and make it work for something like Fallout 5. On top of that, if you have a group like the Enclave coming back, and I don't know why I said Enclave instead of Enclave, that might be a good location as well. What better place to hide out and focus on the future of the country than a predominant city like New York City? And what if they're digging through the rubble trying to find things that were happening in New York City? Design documents and production and facilities that would have existed in New York City, because it still would have been a major location in the past of Fallout. Plus, you could have sewer crocodiles or mutated monsters living in the sewers and all sorts of other crazy, weird stuff going on. It feels like a wonderful playground for a dystopia in the future. It also feels like it's so big that there's no way you could build it all back. But maybe you could put a civilization on top of the rubble. And that would be really interesting to see as well. But that's not the only reason that I'm picking New York City. New York City has one of the most developed underground subway transport systems in the country. What if we find out, and this is going out on a limb, this is a crazy idea, I've never heard anybody bring this up before, but what if in the future of our world, in the past of the Fallout world, before the bombs dropped, in America, urban sprawl and transportation from cars and even regular trains and things like that was becoming a problem. There was too much traffic. The highways could no longer handle the bulk of travel and those kinds of things. And so they built underground railroads between major cities. What if New York City was one of the hubs or one of the beginnings of these locations with the subway system? What if they had bullet trains running underground? And this is something that we didn't know because people didn't rediscover it from the past. And so in exploring New York City, you find out that, yeah, there's still subway systems underneath the ground, but some of those subway systems head out of the city and end up in other locations. What if one of them is connected to Chicago and the Enclave remnants in Chicago? What if another one goes to Boston? What if another one goes to New Vegas? I'm talking a continent-wide subway system. And you could come up with lore reasons for why this would make sense. They clearly would have the technology to make it work. And they would need to dig a bunch of stuff underground, but maybe there was justification for that. They were doing a lot of digging underground. They were putting vaults underground. What if this subway system connects to certain vaults? What if this was part of the plan in order to maintain connectivity between all of the vaults and all of these locations? And what if that expands our options with gameplay? I'm going to go more into that in just a second, but first I have to go thank our patrons, so don't go anywhere.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
All right, welcome to the middle of the show. This is where I get to thank our patrons. Also, thank you for tuning into this slightly different episode. I usually don't do these kind of rambling thought experiment kind of posts on this feed, but I thought it would be fun and something for all of you to discuss. And please feel free to chime in on the Discord or underneath this post on the Patreon if you're a patron. Let me know your thoughts about this episode and content like this and some of these ideas. I know some of them are a little bit out there. That's kind of the point, is they are a little bit out there. And it may or may not happen. So let me know your thoughts on that. But let's take a minute and thank and welcome our newest patron, Phillips. I don't remember if I shouted you out last time, but if I did, you get a double shout out. Also, thank you to Atle Morton, our sentry bot who gets a shout out every week, and to all 109 of our current patrons. Thank you for your support. Thank you for being here. I hope you're enjoying your stickers, your t-shirts, joining us on patron chats, and most of all, just getting ad-free episodes. That's such a nice thing, right? So thank you for your support. If you're interested in supporting the show, patreon.com/falloutlorecast. Go check it out. And I have another review that came in. If you leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, I'll read them out on future episodes of the show. This one is from Twizzy Dizzy in the United States, who writes, "Amazing podcast. This is an amazing podcast. I love to listen to it when playing basketball or doing chores or even studying. I love the one episode about power armor and how it was made and the history of it. It was so cool how you would imagine the people in the power armor and how they would feel and react to certain things. Sincerely, Twizzy," or Twiz, "from Texas." Thanks, Twizzy Dizzy. This one came from Drew's IO, maybe, in the US, who writes, "Deserves 20 stars. Amazing podcast. Robots speaks clearly and clearly does lots of research on the topics at hand. Only problem with this podcast is episodes are not coming out every 30 minutes. All jokes, of course. Love the podcast. Keep it up." Yeah, I don't know that I could do content every 30 minutes. That'd be a little bit to keep up with. Thank you for that one. And then this one is from Nick Knack NockBB in Sweden, who writes, "Serenity. In my opinion, the Fallout Lorecast is not only the best Fallout related podcast to date, I regard it as one of the best podcasts I've ever listened to. Robots is a Fallout expert." Well, thank you for that. I do a lot of research. With that comes a humbleness that is tangible throughout the episodes. The more someone knows about something, the more that someone understands how little they know about that something. Yeah, it's the Einsteinian bubble thing. The podcast is delivered with a lot of heart, passion, humor, tranquility, and goodness. I can't really listen to this podcast when I work, but I instead listen to it during my 3.5-hour drive to work. Oh my God. It makes the time pass by very quickly, although I understand that my home country of Sweden will likely never be featured in a Fallout game. I sincerely hope to one day find a Wasteland artifact related to Swedish origins." That's great. Yeah, I hope so too. That would be really cool. As much as I have said, I'm pretty sure that Fallout's going to stay in the US. And as much as Tim Kaine has said, no, it'd actually be cool to do it in other countries. We really did consider that early on. I would be fine either way. I don't have a dog in this show, a pony in the race. I don't know how that works, but yeah, that would be really cool to see like Swedish stuff and some other country stuff. So who knows, maybe if this idea works out, we'll end up with content like that. So thanks for being here, everybody. Thank you for those reviews, and let's get back to the rest of my version of the way things could work. Here we go.
"If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them."
All right, I'm back. So I pitched the idea of a nationwide subway system. I'm thinking this is very, very fast trains underground, like in tunnels, like the kind that they were even discussing potentially putting in California at one point. So these bullet trains would go very, very, very fast, at least when they were working. Now, in the bombed out future, maybe they're not working, but also they were underground. So chances are a lot of them are still potentially operable, or could be turned back into a system that operates. Maybe this is something the Enclave has known that nobody else has known. Maybe this network of tunnels also includes, and it would have to include, electronics, and signals that would run from one location to another. If this network of tunnels is actually linked, maybe not necessarily in transportation ways, but at least in communication ways, to all of the vaults, then that is how the Enclave is tracking the vaults that still exist. And we've seen in the Fallout TV show that that is the case. The Enclave does have underground locations. The Enclave has its own vaults. The Enclave understands and knows what's going on in the vaults that are still operational. And the Enclave is very hard to find. So what if the remnants of the Enclave exist underground somewhere? Let's just say it's Chicago. Let's say they've got a cell in New York City. Let's say they have a cell in most major cities. And we know how difficult it is to travel across the country. We know that the Brotherhood of Steel would have to take their airships in order to fly from one coast to the other, and that would take a considerable amount of time and resources. How is the Enclave keeping up with that? How is the Enclave able to counter what they're doing, to continue their research, to put spies in locations across the country without having aircraft in order to get around? Maybe they do have aircraft, but maybe they choose not to use them because they're lying low. How do you stay off the radar of groups like the NCR and the Brotherhood in a better way than going everywhere underground? Now, if we've established that this is the case, then this also opens up something from a gameplay perspective. In Fallout 5, you start in New York City, and when the big DLC drops for something like New Vegas 2, it's still in the Fallout 5 engine. In fact, what if they just call Fallout 5 Fallout? Period. And each DLC expansion has its own title. So you download, you install Fallout, and that gives you access to launching any of the Fallout games that you want to play. They've now revamped Fallout 3 and New Vegas so that they work better on whatever consoles. You could then also play Fallout 4, but then you could also play Fallout New York City, which is technically Fallout 5. And then, 2 to 3 years later, you could download and launch Fallout New Vegas 2, still running on that Fallout engine. And this is the hub for all your Fallout stuff. Maybe you want to go visit Appalachia, so you load up Fallout 76. This gives you access to all of that. And improvements that are made to any of the modern and new DLC with the engine get rolled out across all of them. It's an encapsulated system. And this works in the lore, not necessarily for the previous titles, but for any current and future title, in this idea that you have discovered this underground system that can take you from one place to another. So you do the events of Fallout New York, and you get through the quest lines and the stories, and you play them all out. And then Fallout New Vegas 2 drops within just a few years of that one, and you get in the tunnel, you get on your little subway bullet train, and you head over to Nevada. That's how everyone in Nevada says it, right? And now you can play the events of Fallout New Vegas 2. And it takes place slightly after the events of Fallout New York. This is fairly similar to a fast travel system in an MMO like ESO. But you don't play necessarily with other people online. But you could take the same concept and work it into, and it's basically what they've done in Fallout 76. You get on a vertibird there, and you fly somewhere else, and you do a thing. So what if Fallout 76 is the vertibird version of this, which it seems to be becoming, and maybe they continue to expand that map out, but maybe also they continue to have other places you can go. I'm kind of two minds on that. I think they'll probably continue expanding the map out rather than creating new sub-locations because that seems more popular with that. But for a single-player game, I think actually having new locations that are the same size as a brand new game that roll out faster because you don't have to reinvent the game engine, or at least retool the game engine every time you're going to roll something out. You could have multiple sub-studios who are all working on quest lines and characters and things like that in order to roll out that content. And so now we get a New Vegas 2. Maybe we go over there. Maybe we get a Fallout Chicago. We find out what happens to the rest of the Enclave. Maybe we even start expanding beyond that. Maybe we get a Fallout in Canada or in Mexico. Or what if we find out that at some point the Enclave has perfected teleportation technology like we've seen in the Institute, and all of a sudden we can travel further distances. We can go to China or Europe or wherever. And this becomes something that we can experience or use to experience, a platform that we can use to see the full extent of the Fallout universe over a period of time where every so many years they drop a new major DLC. And on top of that, Creation Club still works, so people can mod in other locations. And you'll know that that is a player-made mod, and it's maybe not an official product, but it could be as fun as playing something like Fallout London, but designed in a game engine that supports that. The amount of hoops they had to jump through to get Fallout London to work on the Fallout 4 engine is incredible. There's so much work that was involved, to the point where when Fallout 4 had an update that ruined their plans and they had to push back the launch of the game, and they even had to back mod the game to a previous version. Like, what if Fallout 5, you don't have to do that? What if it is so mod friendly that you could just build out your own DLC in a new place, and it has the capability of adding in different characters, different classifications of enemies, different types of weapons? As long as you can mod it in, the game engine is now robust enough to for that to work. I don't know. These are some crazy ideas, but it seems like maybe gaming is going in this direction, especially when it comes to single player RPGs and giving people more of the content that they want. Let me know your thoughts. This might be crazy. This might be nuts. And maybe I'm anticipating too much. Maybe this specific scenario will never happen. But what if it did?
To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.